This is URN.
The Pulse Breakdown.
This is The Pulse, and I'm Lucy Price, your presenter for today. Now we're going over to David, who is going to tell us about City AM blocking ad blockers.
Thank you very much, Lucy. Yes, this is the news that City AM has become the first UK-based publisher to ban internet traffic to its website, which uses an ad blocker. Starting today, the publisher is running a trial in which readers running Firefox browsers with ad blocking software enabled will themselves be blocked from accessing the content. The homepage of the website will not be affected, but once readers click on an article, they will see a blurred out text along with a message explaining why the article has been blurred. The trial comes after internal research revealed that 20% of City AM's traffic was being affected by this problem, a figure that set alarm bells off around the company. Currently, 8% of its 1.2 million monthly visitors use the Firefox browser, with 20% of those using advertising blockers. The plan is to later extend it to other web browsers and potentially mobile devices further in the future. There is, however, an acceptable advert movement, which includes Reddit and the most popular ad-blocking software, which has a 5-point manifesto for determining what counts as acceptable adverts, which for now will not be blocked by default. These advertisements will not be annoying, they will not disrupt or distort the page content that is trying to be read, they will be transparent about being an advert, they will be effective without shouting at us. Again, these are points from the manifesto, so they are all in quotes. And they are appropriate to the website that they are on. Now, there's a lot of requirements to meet, actually, before those criteria are filled. But essentially, the kind of ads that we will be seeing in the future under this program will be static. So that's no animations, no sounds, those kind of things. Preferably, they'll be text only with no attention-grabbing or disturbing images, as well as they will be clearly marked as being an advert. There will be a different colour to the page, and they're not going to try and disguise themselves on that page. So, what do we think about this? Because the lack of advertising and the blocking of adverts is causing more and more websites to put themselves behind a paywall, meaning that they get revenue of some sort, because obviously advertising provides a form of revenue. So do we think that first up, do we think that City AM's actions are fair? Do we think it's fair for websites to have the power to block people who block adverts in total?
I think it's fair because it's their website. However, I would raise the problem of if you have an ad blocker, you have an ad blocker. Not every website is like City AM. Not every website has transparent ads. They're not safe ads. They're things that you can click on that can potentially, you know, destroy your computer. So to protect ourselves, we download ad blockers, and for them to say, oh yes, but our ads, that's... they're not talking for the whole web. They're not talking for the whole internet.
Yeah, just to explain briefly, the Acceptable Ads program is a suggested program of adverts, which is currently being trialled by the AdBlock program, which is the most commonly downloaded ad blocking software, as well as companies like Reddit. And they are a trial at the moment. I don't even think they've actually started the trial as of yet. But these are the kind of things that you can still have an ad blocking software, but they will be put through. They will still see those adverts because they are transparent, because they are not attention grabbing, as it were. They're still, you know, designed to get people to look at them, but they're not designed to... you don't have to click to actually access the content. They will be out of the way, as it were. They won't stop you from accessing the content. They won't take up too much space, and they won't instantly divert attention if you're not looking for it. So
I think that's, it's definitely fair enough on City AM's behalf, because it's their content they're making. They need to make revenue, and without ads it's very difficult to do so. And I mean, ad blocking really is most effective when you're on those pages with the irritating videos and sounds that won't stop playing, or bombarding you with images and text when you're just trying to read a simple article. So I think you know, companies need to make sure that the ads they're putting on their website aren't irritating for the user, and then like, that's fair enough.
So is it more fair? Are you guys arguing that actually it's not necessarily the people providing the content that are being disadvantaged by this? People are still reading their content if they use an ad blocker, who it's unfair to are the advertisers themselves. And if that's the case, especially some of them, which are the more spam types, your betting websites and your casino websites and other unmentionable ones on the air. Yes. Yeah, I know. Those, is it, are we saying that we're actually being fair to those companies, or are we being fair to the people who make the content, because otherwise they won't get the revenue from the advertisers? The advertisers will just pull out of contracts if they know 20% of people aren't seeing them.
I think probably on behalf of the on the website, it's more fair for them. Maybe if the advertisers didn't make so irritating adverts, people wouldn't use ad blockers.
If we look at common websites, though, like, you know, ITV Player, BBC iPlayer, they have ad blocking detection as well, and they won't let you play their content if they detect ad blockers. And it is possible, I mean, on my particular ad blocker, I can pause it on a certain web page, so I just do that. And I suppose you could do the same with City AM, so perhaps City AM have made a move to protect advertisers.
I think it's probably a better move than, for instance, is it the Times that's behind a paywall? Which you can't really access much of their content at all as such. So I think it's a better move than doing that.
But the Times was always behind a paywall, as it were. The Times is a paid-for newspaper.
Wait, sorry, what is
the
paid wall?
A paywall is the concept that you cannot log in and see content of a website without having a login.
Oh, okay.
Essentially. So imagine if Facebook made
you
pay.
You just have to log in. It's like a registration.
Yeah. And sometimes it's free, although at that point it's not behind a paywall, it's just behind a login.
Oh, okay.
But behind a paywall is a paid login.
I see.
You pay for subscription. So the Acceptable Ads campaign came about because respondents to the poll from Reddit and from this Adblock software both said that the majority of them didn't feel that it was necessary to remove every single advert from the internet. So they took it upon themselves to find a way that would balance both the advertisers and the companies getting the revenue in and, you know, getting their adverts seen, and the consumer by not being too disruptive and not being too offensive as well. So would you agree? Would you prefer to see an internet without adverts but that was paid for? Or would you prefer to see with adverts that wasn't technically paid for? I know you have to pay for broadband and such, but not paid for in the sense of the internet is free to access and you don't have to have a login to that per se.
I mean, it's idealistic to say so, but it would be nice not to have either.
Yeah, I prefer the second option. I would rather it be free or cheap.
Now we're going to go to Neha, who's going to tell us about female engineers today.
Mm-hmm. So many female engineers currently work in big sectors, improving infrastructure and in large multidisciplinary workforces. And with such interesting job roles, they're constantly solving problems and finding creative solutions. Recent statistics have shown that female engineers only make up around 9% of the workforce in the UK, with us having the lowest proportion in Europe. So it's quite low. Being an engineer myself, I didn't expect it to be that low. In the UK, we now have the first female president of the IET, which is the Institution of Engineering and Technology, which, if you're an engineer, you'll know that's our head board, and has vowed to attract more women into engineering, hoping to dispel the myth that engineering is a male-dominated profession. Recently, Emily Cummins, an award-winning inventor, has focused on solving real-world problems facing the poorest in the world with her invention, including a sustainable refrigerator powered by dirty water and a water carrier to save African women to walk and carry water for hours, allowing them to better use their time in education and building businesses or whatever they want. Being a current electrical and electronic engineering student, it fascinates me to know that girls are not considering engineering as a viable career path, despite there being such large prospects in each sector. Recently, well, before the show, I talked to a few students in Portland Building and asked them three specific questions. First was, when I say engineering, what comes to mind? Even if you're not an engineering student, what do you think of? The second question was, what do you think about women in engineering specifically? And just any ideas that come to mind? And the third question was, knowing that women in engineering, after talking to them, that they were low numbers in the UK, what could we do to promote engineering in our country?
It is male-dominated, but I think there's a lot of women that people just don't talk about that are actually involved in, you know, engineering. We just don't know about them. I do, because it would motivate other people that want to be engineers, like other women that want to be engineers, to, you know, go forth in the field. I think of, like, computers, any kind of, like, cars, development of anything having to do with, like, mechanics. Okay.
It's a hard subject. It's hard, tough maths. Loads of content hours. That's basically it, yeah. So, yeah, obviously I do engineering myself, electrical and electrical engineering. So I know it's tough because I do it myself. So obviously, it's hard subject.
That's it.
It's definitely like stereotype. I don't see that many in engineering. If it is, I'll expect it to be something civil. If there was going to be a woman in engineering, probably be civil. But my subject is probably around 10% or 15% women, and there's hardly any there. Well, they tend to be weird.
It's
a bit tough. I'm not too sure, like myself. Also, there's loads of stereotypes with it. Try to make certain aspects of it more attractive to women, like try to prove to them it's not male orientated or dominated. I think that's the thing. They think it's dominated by most men and they can't make a successful career out of it. So I think it puts them off quite a lot. And it needs to be made more attractive in a way. Like, I think it seems boring, but it's quite useful engineering. It can get you into many different sectors, obviously. So, yeah. Tough, rewarding, and long.
I think of so much things with engineering, like mechanical engineering, electronical engineering. It just opens so many doors for so many different people. So that's what I think of engineering, and it's vital for our industry. There's so much jobs in it, and you can use it around anywhere in the world. So I think we do need a lot more women in the industry. There's no gender, no race, no sexual orientation, anything that will factor anybody getting a job in anything they want to study, anything they want to do. And it doesn't matter if it's a male or female. If you can do the job, you do the job. I think that current engineering students, female, should go to schools and colleges and speak directly to girls in science classes, or if they're about to choose it for double science, for example, or they're doing the A-levels, and just tell them what it's like to be a woman in engineering at the university. If they've come across any obstacles, like work experience, if they feel what they can do to... At the end of the day, you get credit when credit's due, so if there's something that inspires them, or if they feel there's obstacles like family, and tell them what they had to do to surpass that. You could even speak about the financial benefits as well, like what the average salary of an engineer is, and compare it to what they think they may want to do. And I mean, there's engineering, it's hard work, but every job has a certain hard work element into it. So I think if you show them the hard work they're doing now that they enjoy, and the money they're going to be making, and it's the skills that can last a lifetime, and if they move like to a different part of the country, it's like it's really vital. It's like in the one of the top 10 industries. So,
really? Neha, I'm really excited to ask you about what made you become an engineer. Well, to study engineering.
And I did. I talked on this yesterday when my voice was a little bit better with the feminist podcast, because they were saying, you know, we came in engineering, but I'll go again. It's okay. basically, I had the same situation as you, Lizzie, in school that we had. All the teachers say, no, girls aren't meant to do physics. Well, they didn't verbally say it, but they'd give you those looks and why are you in physics? Because it was only me and another girl. Well, all the guys would be in the physics class and all the other girls would be in biology or chemistry at the same time. And like, why are you not there? And we'd have to catch up. Basically, it wasn't even in the timetable that we would be biology and chemistry were in the same time as physics. It wasn't like you'd have to catch up extra. So they weren't even thinking that girls would do anything.
This is URN.
The Pulse Breakdown.